Everyone, welcome to another episode of Evolutionary.org Raw podcast. We are doing the 18th episode, I believe, of our podcast. So we appreciate everyone listening. We have some really cool topics tonight. This is your host, Steve Smee. I'm with your favorite Mason, the Masonic bodybuilder. How's it going up there? I know a cold front came through. It's probably freezing up there, isn't it? Matt? How's it going up there, buddy?
Yeah, so no snow so far, which is good. Fall weather starting to settle in, but, you know, can't complain too much. It's pretty good.
Cool. We have some really cool topics, guys. You know, let's get into it so we can make sure we hit everything. The first topic we're going to get into is we're going to talk sports. We're going to talk some NFL and NHL. I had a listener just send me a message. He's like, Steve, you know, will you guys talk about some baseball? There's a World Series going on. And you know what, guys? I really don't follow baseball to tell you much information about it. I know it's the pastime and all that stuff. But you know what? What's interesting is on Twitter, there was more hits about the Pittsburgh Steelers receiver who had his bicycle stolen than there was about the World Series. So, I mean, that tells you what people care about. People don't care about baseball anymore. I don't know, Matt, if you follow it.
You know what, for me, I love baseball. Baseball's actually my number one. The season's too long. It's too long for an average sports fan. The only people watching baseball right now are Dodger fans, Astro fans, and the absolute diehards that baseball is their life. Anybody else, like hockey season started, basketball season started, and we're right in the middle of the NFL season, which, you know, consumes everybody. So who's got time for baseball when it's starting to get cold out? I'm not watching it. I'll be perfectly honest. I'm keeping up with what's going on. During the regular season, I watch Blue Jays, and I watch a lot of games during the season. I love baseball. It's my speed. But you know what? Those ratings don't surprise me. When football comes on, and it's that time of year, even with all this, you know, anthem protesting and everything, it still dominates the sports world. That's just the way it is.
It is. There's NFL is really, truly the best. So let's talk some NFL first. And let's talk about a subject that we haven't hit on, and that is, how do we get tickets to a football game, and how do we pick where to sit in a football game? So let me just hit this first. The way I find tickets is I will go on Ticketmaster. That would be the first thing I do. They have a really cool interactive map, and you can actually put in how many tickets you want and your price range, and it'll actually give you an interactive map of where the seats are, so you can kind of price compare. And what I do is I look for resale tickets. I don't look for the face value tickets, because resale tickets, you don't have to worry about paying taxes. You do pay a fee on it, but you don't have to worry about paying taxes. So you end up getting, there's less fees with resale tickets. And a lot of times resale tickets are being sold for less than the face value tickets, because a lot of people, you know, they get into a predicament where they can't make it to the game, or they're season ticket holders and they'll basically go to half the games and then they'll sell the other half of the games and get their money back. You can actually do that. And a lot of people do that little strategy. Or they'll go to games like, you know, the top games of the year, like when they're, you know, when your team's playing the Patriots, or when your team's playing, a good team, you know, and then they'll sell the tickets when they're playing a shitty team like the Jets or Cleveland or something. So you'll be able to get cheap tickets like that. So what I like to do is Ticketmaster resale tickets. And I like to sit in between the 35 or 40 yard lines. That those are the best seats. I don't like to be too close at an NFL game. It really depends. Some stadiums, the seats are really close on the lower levels, and some of them they're a little further apart. If the seats are too close, you're not going to be able to see very much, especially say you're on the 50 yard line and they're on the goal line. It's going to be really hard to see what's going on. So I kind of like to sit the top half of the lower level. If you can get the very last row on the lower level, that's the best because you can stand up the whole game and it's kind of cool because you don't have to worry about the person behind you, you know, getting pissed because you're standing up and all that stuff. Also, I recommend staying away from the aisles. As convenient as it is to be on the aisle because you can go to the bathroom and stuff, it's also inconvenient because other people who are going to the bathroom and stuff during the game, you have to keep standing up for them to go by. So I like to be right in the middle of the aisle. And when people are coming up and down the stairs, it kind of blocks your view. So when you're in the middle of the row, you don't have to worry about people blocking your view, and you don't have to worry about having to stand up every 5 minutes because a person has to go to the bathroom or a person wants to go get a beer. So that's my advice with football. Matt, what's your advice with hockey? Because you're the hockey expert. If I want tickets to the hockey game, and then where should I sit in a hockey game?
Yeah, so there's some similarities with football, the way that I look at it. I've sat probably everywhere in every level of hockey. I've been to way too many games. And I prefer to be up at least halfway. There's not really a bad seat in the house when you're watching a game.
So what row would be halfway for a hockey game? Because in football, ideally, it's usually 40 rows on the lower level. And I like to be at least at the 25th row.
So ideally for me, like typically you'll have your 100s, 200s, and 300 levels. 200 levels is what I like. It is a bit more pricey because you are, you know, right in that middle range. I like it because the 100 levels, they can be cool, especially for kids, right? Because you're super close. And if you really want to get a feel for the speed of the game, that's where you want to be. You want to be right down close. When you're in that middle 200 level section, you can really see everything from end to end. It's a great view. You're close enough. It's kind of the best of both worlds. But even up in the nosebleeds, like, you can still see plenty. It's not like you're obstructed. It's not like, you know, there are tiny little dots on the ice. You can still see really good, but you lose a lot of that speed that you would really pick up being at a lower level. So I like being, you know, right in the middle. I prefer to be as close to center ice as possible just to watch kind of the action at both ends. But it is cool if you can get at the right end where your team's going to be shooting twice as opposed to your own goalie. If you can get down in your end and have that set up, that's pretty cool too. Unless you're a huge goalie fan, then I guess it wouldn't matter, you know, what team you're rooting for. But yeah, I prefer the middle section for sure.
So you're saying be in the center, or you're saying be on more of the side that your team's going to be shooting on? Because two out of the three periods, your team will be shooting in a certain direction.
Right. So if you can figure it out, which you may not know, you may be able to figure it out.
No, it says that. When you go to buy tickets, it'll tell you where the teams are shooting.
I still would prefer to be in the middle.
Okay.
That's me. But I think anywhere on that mid-level is going to be, you know, a really good seat no matter where you are. I've never worried as much kind of the things about the aisle and those kind of things. Football games are a shit show. You got people get absolutely hammered drunk, sloppy. The bathrooms are a mess. People are just pissing everywhere. Yeah. It's a joke, right?
Yeah.
You don't really get that as much at hockey. So it's not as, you know, I mean, football games, you're talking, you know, you got 60, 70, 80,000 people where, you know, a hockey arena, you're talking, you know, 15 to 17,000. So it's a big difference in just, you know, overall attendance too.
So where we're on the hockey topic, you made some predictions and I got to call you out on it. You predicted Montreal and the Rangers would be one of the top teams, also Washington. And those three are actually three of maybe the five or six worst teams in the East. What is going on with those three teams?
It is a rough start for those predictions. A couple of them I did okay. In the Atlantic, Tampa's right at the top. Tampa, Toronto, Ottawa are all doing well. No surprise there. A little bit surprised at how good Toronto's been. I thought they'd be, you know, more in the middle for most of the season. Montreal, wow, nobody saw this coming. I'm not sure why, you know, this has happened to them. They can't score a goal. Carey Price has not been, you know, he's the best goalie in the world. He should be stealing games. But, I mean, then what can he do when you score, you know, one goal per game? You know, he can't really do anything there. So they're just, you know, they're in the slump in both senses of the game, offensively and defensively at the same time. Now, that being said, we're only, you know, 9-10 games into the season. It really doesn't mean a ton. I would still expect them, you know, at this point, I don't think they're going to take the division. I don't think, you know, they're going to come that far, take the division, be top in the conference or anything. But I still expect them to be challenging for that seventh or eighth spot to make the playoffs down there somewhere. We can never forget. There'll always be the trade deadline. There'll always be moves to make. They got money. They can make some cap space. So I think Montreal's got some hope to come back. Pittsburgh's right at the top, which is exactly what I thought in their division. But Washington and the Rangers have not done well. The Rangers, you know, they kind of fall into that same category. The goaltending, you know, Lundqvist, yes, he's older now, but goalies can play, you know, all the way into their 40s even now. It's just a different game. And, you know, he hasn't been what he needs to be. And it's the same thing. You know, it's early. If you look at kind of their goals for, goals against, they're right in the middle of the pack. So there's nothing that jumps out crazy where when you look at Montreal, they're terrible. Goals for, they have 18 goals for so far this year. Just to put that into comparison, Pittsburgh's got 32. You know, so the Rangers have really dug themselves a hole. Washington, you know, they're down there, but they're 4-4. So they got time to figure it out. I thought that after last year, it was time to move off of, you know, Ovechkin and, you know, I hate to use this term, it's the worst, but change the culture. Like, I think it was just time to go in a new direction, I guess, more or less. And they didn't do that. So, you know, even if they make it back, I can't see them, you know, it's not their year. We'll put it that way. They got to, you know, eventually change at some point.
And then on the West, Vegas is a big surprise. You predicted them to be bad. Why are they so good? And then Edmonton has been a big disappointment. They got Connor McDavid, and he's supposed to be the best player in the NHL. Why are they struggling to score?
It's funny.
Yeah.
It is funny. Edmonton, they're just getting Draisaitl back, which may help them. You know, it's one player, but still, it'll definitely help them because, you know, when you're missing a top six forward like that, it definitely throws off your line combinations and, you know, it can have a compounding effect. But saying that, they've scored 15 goals. You know, we're talking about Montreal only scoring 18 goals. Edmonton's the lowest in the entire league with 15 goals for. You're not going to win games scoring 15 goals, you know, in eight games. It's not going to work that way. So they're really struggling. Will they turn it around? I would think they would. All their young guys are another year experience now. Come the end of the season, they'll have a lot more energy when that grind sets in. They'll be able to, you know, physically be able to push through a little better than some of these older teams. Vegas, I wish I had an explanation for this, but my logic is that they don't know any better. It's kind of like changing jobs, right? Everything, it's all refreshed for these guys. A lot of them, like Marc-Andre Fleury, for example, he kind of needed that fresh start. Now he's there. He's the starting goalie. There's no questions. You know, they're in this new, exciting city. They're all, you know, there's a lot of younger guys on the team. It's brand new. And then, unfortunately, they deal with the, you know, the tragedy that they did there with the shootings in Las Vegas. You know, that can bring you together too, but
they've only allowed 19 goals, Matt. I mean, that's best in the NHL. Like they must have a good defense, right?
It's outstanding. The way that they're playing, it's like they've been together for years. You know, it really, on paper, it really doesn't make sense. But that's professional sports, right? We see that especially in football. Anybody can win any day.
Yeah.
Now, I'll kind of give this the reverse of what I said about Montreal. I can't see this being sustainable. It's awesome and it's fun. I love it. It's very exciting. But by the end of the season, I can't see them being up here. They just don't have the talent, don't have the experience. I would expect them in Edmonton to kind of switch places. But who knows? We'll see. I've been wrong already, so I maybe continue to just be wrong the rest of the year too.
So in the NFL, we have some surprises. Let's start with the shitty team. San Francisco, they suck. They're 0-7, but I mean, they got no talent, and so no one's surprised there. Cleveland, same thing. They suck. They're tanking. They're more worried about getting draft picks, and I don't know. They just keep getting draft picks and doing nothing with them. So they use their first pick on a defensive end who has played pretty decently, but obviously it's not doing them any good because they still have no quarterback. And if you don't have a quarterback, you can't win. And Kaiser from Notre Dame, that was their quarterback they drafted. They drafted him not in the first round. They drafted him later in the draft. And he's ended up playing extremely poorly. But Jared Goff last year played extremely poorly, and he's having a much better season. And that's the surprise team, I think, is the Rams. They are playing fantastic. 5-2. They've scored 1,212 points, which is the most in the NFL. That is my surprise team. And then on the flip side, the Giants, 1-6. Who would have thought the Giants would be 1-6? I mean, this team, they have a tremendous defense. But, you know, the defense, I think, has played okay. But, you know, they really don't score very many points. They've only scored 112 points in 7 games. That's really bad. And the defense just, you know, can't keep up. I mean, when the offense keeps going 3 and out and turning it over, the defense is being put in a hole. So, I mean, those are my surprise teams. Otherwise, it's parity. I mean, the parity in the NFL is really amazing. But I think there's going to be some teams that kind of break away from the pack. They catch fire and they'll, you know, move. It could be the Patriots. I mean, the Patriots, they kind of had a shaky start, but now their defense is starting to get it together. They could be the team that rips, you know, and they're 5-2. They could end up with 12 wins on the year and the 12 or 13 wins in the first seed again and have home field in the playoffs. So someone's going to catch fire. Green Bay losing Aaron Rodgers, that really, really sucks because they were Super Bowl contenders. And they probably won't even make the playoffs now. So that really sucks if you're a Green Bay fan because those fans are amazing. There's an 80-year waiting period for tickets, for season tickets for the Green Bay Packers. So we were talking about how to get tickets. Green Bay is one place. It is very hard to get tickets too. So there are no tickets to buy at face value. You have to basically have a friend who has tickets, or you have to overpay for resale tickets to even go to a Green Bay game. But then again, there really isn't much to do in Green Bay except maybe watch cheese made in the factory.
Yeah, it really is tough to lose somebody like that. Even just, you know, the Packers have so many fans outside of Green Bay. They're fun to watch on TV. They're just one of those teams that has a draw. And you lose somebody so talented, it sucks for everybody. You know, you want to see the guys at their highest level. I really like the AFC East this year. It's been fun. That's my division anyways. But, I mean, you look at New England, like Steve said, 5-2. You know, we know where they'll end up. They'll end up on fire at the top. But, I mean, you look at the Bills and the Dolphins, both sitting at 4-2. Didn't expect that. And even the Jets, 3-4, I expected them at this point to, you know, maybe have one win if they were lucky. So that's been really interesting. I'm really looking forward to watching if they're just going to beat each other up or if there's going to be somebody that's going to be able to keep pace with New England. That'll be, you know, we'll see what comes with that.
Well, if the playoffs were today, Matt, three of those teams would be in. New England, Buffalo, and Miami would be in the playoffs. So, I mean, that's amazing.
I mean, we can't stop talking about football until we bring up Philadelphia. Right, they've been unreal lately. 6-1 now, just, you know, running away with that division. Dallas and Washington are both 3-3, and you know, Steve mentioned the Giants are toast. But man, Philadelphia, nobody really had them picked to be where they are right now. And, you know, a lot of it really, it comes down to the quarterback. You have that quarterback that's going to lead your team. You know, that's what will separate a lot of these teams. If you look at, you know, where these guys end up, yeah. There's a reason why New England ends up there.
Yeah, and Wentz last year, you could tell as a rookie, even though they had a mediocre season last year, but you could tell he was going to be good. And now in his second year, he's become quickly one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I think he's gotten the most touchdown passes out of anybody, which is amazing. And then in the AFC, the rookie in Houston, he's got the most touchdowns in the AFC. He's got the most touchdowns running and passing. So, you know, that's been an amazing story. And they just got Dwayne Brown back too. So Deshaun Watson, they got him in the first round, and he's been amazing. So the Browns, you know, could have got Wentz, and they could have got Watson, and now they still don't have a quarterback. So you need a quarterback. So that was awesome sports talk. Let's get into some talk here. Diet pills. We get a lot of questions about diet pills every day. People want to lose weight from a diet pill. Matt, this was a question brought to you. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it you know, it just shows you where we're at mentally in society. We're always looking for the quick fix. We're looking for the magic pill. And these companies putting out these diet pills are just making a killing. And it's amazing, because if any of them worked, you would just be able to look around and you'd see thin people everywhere with the amount of shit they sell. Instead, you look around and you see slobs everywhere because everybody's fat. So obviously these things aren't doing what they say they do, or they're not meeting your expectations. There seems to be something new, you know, like a couple times a year, the next biggest thing, that Garcinia Cambogia was, you know, the next big one. And, you know, Dr. Oz was all over that. And then, you know, you see the raspberry ketone supplements. And, you know, when it really comes down to it, most of them are just caffeine pills. And then they add in some of these names, like I mentioned, to make them seem fancy and like they'll do things for you. They're not going to cause you to you know, get ripped, to get lean. Caffeine will help suppress your appetite. So if you're one of those people that you can't control yourself, that's your biggest downfall. You know, you may even exercise, but when it comes to food, you don't have that appetite control. It'll help you, but is it worth the money? No. You can get pure caffeine pills for dirt cheap. If that's what you wanted to do, you could just drink a cup of coffee. You don't want to abuse these, you know, here and there, it's not going to hurt you. But to actually lose weight and maintain that, and for it to be sustainable, you got to just eat less food. You got to move more. It's as simple as that. You can't look for the magic fix. You got to get into a deficit, and you got to do it every single day. I've probably said that on every podcast. Every single day, if you're going to do something, you have to do it every single day. You know, if you're in a deficit 4 days a week, 5 days a week, it's not going to work. You're not going to lose enough. You're going to give up. You're going to quit. Or, you know, the weight loss is going to be so slow, you're never going to get to your goals. So it's all, you know, forget all these stupid ass things you see at Walmart. Okay. They're not going to help you. What's going to help you is getting your mindset right. Telling yourself, I'm going to have to be hungry. I'm going to have to eat less food, and I'm going to have to work hard to get what I want. I don't use these things, man.
Yeah, I asked Mark Lobliner the other night. He was on our podcast, our regular podcast. I asked him, how are you so big yet so lean at the same time? He told me two things, which is amazing. It's an amazing answer. He said that in the past 20 years, he has worked out every day. The longest he hasn't worked out was 3 days tops. He's gone 3 days without working out in the past 20 years. So he's consistent with his workouts. He's constantly breaking and repairing muscle on a constant basis. And the second thing he does to stay lean is he's in a deficit every day. So when you do those two things, you will gain muscle and you will stay lean at the same time. It's that simple. It's a crazy concept. But the thing is, most people fail because most people want to depend on these diet pills to do the job for them, and they don't. They're not going to help you. In my experience, taking these stimulants just make me feel like shit, you know? It makes me not want to exercise, you know? And then, like, once they kind of wear off, it just seems like your hunger is, like, twice as crazy. So it's almost like they're counterproductive. Anytime I go to someone's house and I look in their cabinet, I always see a fat, you know, one of these fat burner supplements that's like half empty, because they'll use half the bottle and then they'll figure out, you know what, this shit's not helping me, and then they'll stop using it. So it's just a waste of money. There is one supplement that I use every day, though. It's called N2 Slim, but it's not a stimulant. And what this does, we talked about on a prior podcast, it actually blocks, you take it before your meal, and it actually blocks that meal from being stored as fat. So that would be something to use. But there is no such thing as a fat burner pill that you can actually take that burns fat. So our next topic kind of ties into this is Halloween candy. And Matt, you have kids, so I know you probably celebrate Halloween. For me, I don't have kids, but I'll have kids come over. And what, you know, the Halloween thing, they'll come to your house, they'll ring your doorbell, and you put candy in their bag. So what I like to do is I like to give cards, like baseball cards, football cards, hockey cards, instead of candy. And I found that kids actually like that. Like, they prefer that over candy because they get so much fucking candy, not just from trick-or-treating, but they also get it in school. They get it from their parents at home. I mean, you go to any person's house on Halloween, they have a shitload of candy in their house, and they're fucking eating the candy as they're handing it out to the kids. That's been my experience. So I just don't bother getting candy. So that might be something that you can do. If you're tempted on Halloween to, like, eat the candy that you're giving to the kids because you can't help yourself, just don't even buy candy in the first place. Just give them – or give them, like – give them coins. Give them, like, you know, or give them a dollar. Like, every kid that comes, give them a dollar. And then they can take that money and kind of buy whatever they want with it. So there's other options besides giving kids candy. What do you like to do, Matt? I know when you have kids, it's kind of cruel to, you know, to say, oh yeah, I'm not gonna take my kids trick or treating because I don't want them to get candy. Yeah, you're gonna get candy. I'm sure, Matt, you take your kids trick or treating. So what are some tips that you do?
Yeah, we do take them out. The thing is, like, we started it right from when my kids were, you know, very little. We've never told them they can't have anything. We've just always been about portion control with anything. So my wife used to do daycare way back, so we'd have a lot of, you know, snack foods at the house for all these other kids. Well, if you want a cookie, that's fine, but you can only have one. And they knew that, and they've been taught that from a young age. Anything like that that's not healthy, like, they understand the concept of healthy versus not healthy at their age, but obviously that's about as far as it goes. So they know if they're having something that's not healthy, it either gets put into like a little bowl, or they just take one of whatever it is. So with Halloween, what'll end up happening with us, and it's funny because this carries right into Christmas too. You see, like, families just handing out chocolate and candy. Like, it's ridiculous, right? But what'll end up happening is we'll have this, you know, giant bag sitting in our house, and I don't care for it. I'm never going to snack on candy. It's not anything I've ever craved for me, so it's not a big deal that way. But it'll last for a couple weeks where when I make the kids lunches, I'll send them, like, two little pieces. And after, like, a week, the fun of it kind of wears off. And then, like, I'll just take all of it with me to work, and I'll just leave it there. And then all the other people will just ravage it like they've never eaten before. So that's a great idea for a lot of you guys that, you know, you work in an office. If you have all this candy, just keep a little bit at home for the kids. Take the rest of it to work and leave it there. You know, because then everyone, they'll love you. They'll think you're the best. And meanwhile, you know, they're doing you a favor because you're getting this shit out of your house. So, you know, it's okay. Just portion control. You know, you can't binge on this stuff. If you know that's your, you know, your mindset and you're, you know, predisposed to binge eating and things like that, you have to avoid it completely. You can't have any in the house. Don't even do it. Find another way. You know, let your kids do it. Give them a little bit, and you just get rid of the rest. If you're that personality, you can't afford to have any in the house.
All right, Matt, what's our next topic? TRT talk. Tell us about that.
Sorry, buddy. I think I muted my microphone there. So I'm having microphone difficulties today. Yeah, so we got a question on somebody looking into TRT. So I thought, you know what, we should kind of cover this from beginning to end because it's not a simple, yes, I should do it, no, I shouldn't. It's kind of a long process that you really want to go through. So for me, what I would look at is the first thing that you would have to feel or realize are some type of symptoms. That's going to be the most important thing. Blood work is very important. I don't want to diminish blood work, but everybody's normal testosterone is going to be a different number. So just because I'm at the lower end, you know, doesn't mean that's not normal for me. My body might only need that lower amount to function properly. I may not need a higher amount like somebody else may. So I find a lot of guys see a number and then they're like, oh, should I go on TRT? I'm only at, you know, 350 NG per DL. Like, that's pretty low. What, should I go on TRT? Well, how do you feel? Well, I feel great. You know, no problems with libido. I'm in the gym making my gains. I'm fine, but I should probably be making more. Well, you know, don't think like that. Think about your symptoms because you have to understand this is a lifelong commitment. There's no such thing as TRT for 10 weeks. This is for the rest of your life. So, you know, you should notice the things like, you know, lack of energy, low libido, fat gain. You're not able to gain any muscle even though you're training and eating properly. Things like that. You know, you're not getting morning wood anymore. You're having issues, you know, keeping it up. Those kind of things. If you're experiencing that, then I would get the blood work. And if that matches up, you're likely, you know, having an issue there. Now, another thing it's going to come down to is your age. Because if you're a young guy, you can make a huge difference in your testosterone levels just by lifestyle changes. And I think I'll leave some of that for Steve because Steve knows a lot about, you know, what you can kind of do in your life to clean it up and really help those levels out. But that would be my next part would be your age. So if you're 30, you're probably not going to jump right onto TRT just because of those things. You're going to try to work through, you know, and see if you can fix it yourself. If you're getting into your, you know, your mid to late 40s, your 50s, you're having the symptoms and your numbers are low, I think that's the perfect time to do it. Is it going to be life-changing? For most people, no. It's going to, you know, help you feel normal, which, yeah, that's very important. I don't want to diminish that. Some people it is life changing. Some people that, you know, they just feel so bad all the time. And this is the cause. They get on TRT, they feel great, and it really changes their life. So I think that's the, you know, the age range I would look at getting into it. And then the next step is going to be doing it through the doctor. You're always going to want to do that. It's convenient, obviously, because you're getting legitimate product. You know, there's no questions. You have a prescription. You can travel. There's never going to be any issues when you do it the right way. So I would want to work through the doctor. And they're going to really follow up with the blood work to make sure everything gets to where it needs to be and stays there. And also your health isn't compromised because that's very important. So if you end up having to do self-TRT, you better damn well be responsible with your blood work because it's not something you just nail the first day. You don't just start taking 150, 200 milligrams per week and everything's perfect. It doesn't work that way. It takes time to get yourself dialed in to where you need to be exactly. And then you're going to want to check your estrogen. Some guys, you know, the body can adapt and keep estrogen in check. Some guys, it goes a little high and you might want to run a really low AI dose. Very individual, you know, very dependent on the person. So it's just going to, the end then is going to be that maintenance, just keeping up with the blood work as everything goes, you know, not missing your doctor visits and go from there.
Lifestyle is very important, guys. Why would your body produce hormones on its own if you don't exercise, you don't eat right, you're stressed out all the time? Your body's going to react to that, and your body's just going to be like, you know what? A unhealthy body is not going to have healthy reproductive health. You know, like, it's amazing how many people can't have kids, and they complain, oh, I can't have kids. They don't produce a lot of sperm. Well, if you're an unhealthy person, it's nature. In nature, animals that are sick and unhealthy don't produce offspring because their offspring will be sick and unhealthy. So if you're a sick and unhealthy person, what do you think is going to happen? So let's just physically, from a physical standpoint, if you look down and you can't even see your dick when you're taking a leak, you're too fucking fat, all right? Let's be honest about it. You're too fucking fat. And it's amazing how many people I see who look fucking pregnant. You know, middle-aged men who look fucking pregnant. And what do you think is going to be, you know, why would your body produce hormones if you're that unhealthy? So you have to look at your diet and you have to fix your exercise and you have to reduce your stress. And reducing stress goes hand in hand with a proper diet and exercise. Because if you're releasing that baby batter through exercise and sweating all that shit out of your body and getting that baby batter out through hard exercise every day, you'll be less stressed no matter how stressful your job is. So it's a must. You must do that. That in itself can fix your testosterone levels and boost your hormones. It's just nature, the way nature works. So let's say you've exhausted all strategies and you're like, fuck, my testosterone levels are low. They're not going any higher. I tested them a year ago. They're now like 25, 50 points lower. Then yeah, make the decision to go with TRT. But if you're in your 20s, I mean, you shouldn't even be thinking about it. Like, you're just too fucking young. Unless you have some type of medical problem, like you had cancer or you lost one of your balls in an accident or something like that, you shouldn't need TRT in your 20s. You know, a lot of younger guys have low testosterone levels because they've abused steroids when they were younger. They are in too much of the electronics. You know, I really believe that all this video games and being lazy, and when you're looking at the TV all day and you're playing video games, your brain signals to your reproductive system it doesn't have to produce hormones because you're playing video games all day. You don't need high testosterone levels to function to play video games. So I really believe that has something to do with it versus someone who spent their 20s, you know, doing a manual job and they're out there sweating and they're out there, you know, busting their ass. Also, drug abuse, recreational drugs or any type of drugs, all these antidepressants, those reduce testosterone levels. Those reduce libido. Recreational drugs, marijuana, reduces testosterone, raises estrogen. So, I mean, it also raises prolactin. So you really have to be smart about what you're putting in your body. And you have to remember all these drugs that doctors want to put you on growing up. Oh, you've got this wrong with you, you got that wrong with you. That all ends up catching up to you. So it's all about lifestyle. And if you do decide to go TRT, listen to what Matt said. The best thing is to go through a doctor. If you can't afford a doctor, self-TRT, but you will need to do your own blood work.
Yeah, two other quick things on that. You guys can't be smoking either. Like, that's probably the worst thing you could do for your health. On top of it, you know, affecting all that, it's going to give you some of the same effects that you would, you know, that are similar to just having low testosterone levels. You're going to have limp dick and stuff like that because your circulation is going to go to shit. Your heart health is going to be poor, all that. So you can't be smoking. You can't be drinking. Like, those behaviors are not part of, you know, a healthy lifestyle. And if you want to be part of this long term and, you know, feel good, look good, you know, long term, you can't be doing behaviors like that. So that's something else that's going to contribute to, you know, low testosterone levels. In a general sense, just clean up your lifestyle. If you do that, it'll be dramatic. Just exercising will increase your testosterone levels. You know, once you get into it, you know, and you're committed to fitness and dieting and things like that, you can even take it a step further. You know, when you get into the heavy lifting, you know, squats, deadlifts, bench press, things like that, you can even increase your testosterone levels and your growth hormone levels from doing exercises like that, the really heavy compound movements, you know, and also with diet. You know, you can have healthy testosterone levels when you're eating, you know, enough good fats, you know, whole eggs, avocados, fish, that's, you know, fatty fish, things like that will really help your testosterone levels. You'll learn how to eat to control that too. You'll learn to avoid things like soy that can be highly estrogenic. So, you know, all this stuff ties together. So, you know, if TRT is something you're considering, just make sure you take a look at your lifestyle first. You know, even getting enough sleep is a huge thing. If you're constantly not getting enough sleep, you know, that's going to affect your cortisol levels too. That's going to, you know, it's going to affect stress. Like Steve mentioned earlier, you're never going to be, you know, your body's never going to be where it needs to be, where it's happy. You know, so look at your whole lifestyle before you make that plunge and decide, you know, that you want to pin the rest of your life.
Yeah, and also too much sleep is also not good either. You want to get a proper amount of sleep, 7 to 9 hours a night. Some guys can get away with 6, but 7 to 9 is a sweet spot. Too much sleep is also bad because that, you know, that's just lazy. That's a lazy lifestyle. And be happy every day. Don't be depressed. Like, if you hate your life, you know, get a different job. I mean, there's so many opportunities out there with technology where you can find a better job out there. You know, if you hate waking up every morning, do something about it. You know, go back to school, do something. I mean, there's all kinds of strategies. I mean, it's really, really important. I know it's tough to say that, but you really need to reexamine your life. That brings us to our next topic, which is age and steroids. Is it too old? Are you too old to use steroids, or are you too young? Let me handle the young aspect. I'll let Matt handle the old aspect because we've had some questions about that on the forum about being old using steroids. But let me talk about the young guys. When you use steroids and you're too young, in your teenage years up till about 23, 24, your reproductive system is still developing. Your hormones are changing. Okay, just because you're horny in your late teens doesn't mean your testosterone levels are sky high. That's not true. You don't peak your testosterone levels till your 20s. But what happens is your hormones in your teens are changing. That's why you're so fucking horny. Your estrogen levels are roller coastering. You're getting pimples. Your libido's crazy. Like, you want to have sex like 3 times a day. It's crazy. Well, that's why, because you're going through those changes. So don't think that means your testosterone is peaked and you can just go ahead and hop on steroids at 20 because you're just fucking yourself up. When you use steroids at a young age, you're shutting down your pituitary glands. You're stunting the development of your reproductive system, and that will have long-term effects. You will start having lower testosterone levels as an adult at a younger age, and you will have to go on TRT at a younger age if you use steroids at a younger age. Every person I know who used steroids as a teenager has low testosterone levels in their 20s. Every single person. I've been on the forums for over a decade, and this is 100% true. Because when you mess, it's like a pool. You fill up the pool with water, okay, and you start putting the wrong, you know, chemicals in there. You fuck up your pool when you do that. You have to not fuck with your pool. You need to keep things the way they're supposed to be. Your pH levels of the pool, the proper amount of chlorine, everything has to be where it needs to be. If you start dumping more chlorine in there, you're going to have too much chlorine. If you stop dumping some other chemical, your pH levels are not going to be where they need to be. Your pool is going to turn a weird color. So it's all about, you know, taking care of your body. Steroids, I recommend waiting. If you can wait till your 30s to use steroids, it's the best thing you can do. But if you're in a rush, 26 years old is the minimum. 26, 27. Because that's when you really start maturing. I didn't start using steroids until I was 28, 29. And I even felt like I was too young. Because, you know, if you look at a picture of your dad at when he was 35 versus 25, you'll be like, whoa, that's a big difference. He looks like a boy versus a man. And it's true. You mature a lot from 25 to 35. So the longer you can wait to use steroids, the better. At 21, 22, SARMs. You can use SARMs in moderation. Make sure you're cycling off because they are slightly suppressive. And if you're 18... natural supplements like creatine, maybe some Fadogia, maybe, you know, some Tribulus, stuff like that. That's safe to use. You can go on N2BM.com, even protein powder that's good quality. That's okay to use. But any under 18, you don't need nothing. You just need a good diet and hydrate with good water. That's really all you need. A good workout program and build consistency. So, Matt, talk a little bit about older guys. Is it safe for a 50-year-old or 60-year-old to use steroids?
So here's the thing with older guys. Is it safe? That's what you need to know. That's the important part. When it comes to age, it's all about your health overall. Obviously, your reproductive system's developed by 50, right? So it's completely different from the young guy. What you're more concerned about when you're older is – what's your heart health like? How's your cholesterol levels? How are your liver values? You know, things like that that you really want to know, because steroids do put a stress on your body. And as you get older, you know, you learn you don't need any extra stress on your body. Your body's already been through enough on its own. So you need to get blood work first. That's number one, to make sure you're healthy. Number two is the reason you might want to be looking at steroids for the first time at 50 years old is you're not able to make gains like you did in your 20s. And you know what? That makes sense. You shouldn't make gains like your 20s. But what also could be a factor is you may be a prime candidate for TRT at that point. Your testosterone levels, they do start to go down once you hit about 30 for the rest of your life. They start to decrease. So just getting a TRT dose from your doctor may be enough for a guy at 50. He may, you know, start this and notice all of a sudden, you know, wow, I'm making better gains in the gym now. I feel better overall. So for guys at that age, that can, you know, really make a big difference. If you don't need TRT, that's perfectly fine too. If your blood work comes back, you know, good, everything's healthy, testosterone's fine, I have no problem. I don't think there's a limit on age, really, you know, personally, when it comes to it. If you're 65, you're healthy, there's no reason you can't use them if you're doing it right. You know, no different than somebody in their 20s or 30s. You still need to know what you're doing. You know, you still want to research these compounds. You want to be, you know, eating a really, really good diet. You want to be exercising every day. You know, weight training 5 days a week, 4 days a week, whatever it is. You still need to have all those things in check, just like anybody else would. But I don't see any reason why you can't. And, you know, if your testosterone levels were normal before cycle, there's no reason you can't do post-cycle therapy like anybody else would. Nothing saying you have to jump on TRT. It's all about being responsible and, you know, actually checking the blood work and everything else. I even think at an older age, you get a lot more out of a cycle. You know, you're mature, you're going to do everything the right way. You're not going to waste your money on something you're not going to stick with. You know, you're going to actually do it, and you're going to notice a ton of results out of it. The only thing I would say that might be different would be the type of steroids you look at using. And the reason I say that is because as you get older, you may have some more issues with your joints, things like that, just from wear and tear, you know, from years and years of whatever you've been doing. So, you know, you may want to stay away from things like Winstrol, you know, that's going to be tough on your joints. And that's fine. You know, that's not going to matter. I think, you know, for an older guy, you know, you run test and, you know, test by itself is going to be probably good for most guys. But, you know, if you want to throw some DECA in there, that's fine too. As long as you don't have any injuries, you know, that you're masking, that's a good one because your joints will feel good while you're using it. And it's mild too, right? So you're going to get some gains, but you're going to, you know, it's not going to be something like Tren that's going to make you feel, you know, you're going to have all the side effects, the night sweats, all that crap. I'd probably want to keep that down. So something like Test and DECA, Test and EQ, just keep it mild. And, you know, I think an older guy could have awesome results with something like that.
So we had a funny final talk. We only have 5 minutes left. Matt, you want to chime in first on it and tell us what you saw?
Yeah, so we've heard this story before, guys, where, you know, you try to hide this shit from your wives, your girlfriends, your partner, whatever, you know, that you're using steroids. First of all, women know everything, okay? Like, they got a third eye. They got, there's something. They know everything you're doing, trust me. So this guy, he actually, his wife found all his gear, and she threw it all in the garbage, smashed it up. So the reason I laugh is because he comes on the forum and he doesn't ask, you know, what should I do? You know, give me some advice, guys. He asks us, what's a safe way to get a replacement where she's not going to find out? So I'm like, oh, come on, buddy. Like, nah, you just got this thing to a whole nother level. So first of all, if you can't ship steroids to your house, that's fine. Certain people can't, don't want to, whatever reason, you can always get, you know, a P.O. box at the post office, ship it to a friend's house or family member that, you know, you might be able to swing that. So I guess that answers this question. But when it really comes down to it, if your wife finds it, smashes it, and you think your relationship's in a bad spot, don't you think you should give a shit about that first? Shouldn't you care that you're doing stuff behind her back and now she doesn't trust you and now your relationship is, you know, probably 50-50 if it's going to make it at this point, and you're worried about where can I ship my next order to? So to me, that's a huge red flag that there's some serious issues with the relationship in general. Obviously, on her end, trust is lost for you right now. So if you're going to try to work it out, you got to build the trust back up. But also on the guy's end, like, you just don't give a fuck, right? If that's what it is, what are you doing? And you know what? Just to some extent, there's nothing wrong with that, I guess. If the relationship's not working, maybe this is the wake-up call that he needed to say, you know what, I should probably care, and I don't care that she found it and she's all upset and whatever. Maybe that's the time that you guys, you know, go your own ways. You got different values. You got to be able to talk to each other and not hide things. Like, look at it from her point of view. You know, like, if she was hiding something and then you found out about it, how would you feel, right? You wouldn't be able to trust her. So if you're going to get into something like steroids, you know, you got to be open. I say that every time this topic comes up. Like, you can't hide stuff because they're going to find out. And then what are you going to do, right? Then you're going to have to try to dig your way out of a hole. You know, you're better to always, you know, be upfront about it, explain what they are, you know, the good, the bad. Just be honest and educate without making her feel stupid. That's the best thing you can do. But I think this might be a real wake-up call for, you know, this guy and how he actually feels towards her.
Yeah, the problem boils down to the beginning of it. It's not the ends to the means. The bottom line is you know, you should not keep that type of secret from her. You need to educate her from the start, and you should have, you know, it's easy to say, oh, well, you shouldn't have got married. You should have used steroids during your relationship before you got married. And then once you got married, she'd be okay with it because she knew you already, as that's part of your life. But let's say you got married later on and you decided to use steroids after you got married. Well, in that situation, you should sit down with her and kind of educate her on it and prove to her that you're knowledgeable on what you're doing and that it's safe, and then make sure she's on board with it. You know, and if she really thinks that you know about fitness and that you know what you're doing and you're educated, then who is she to say, no, I don't want you using steroids? So, you know, like in my situation, I've never had a problem with girls dating and them knowing I use steroids, because I do these podcasts and they can come on and they can listen to these podcasts and they can see that I give advice on steroid use and all this shit and on about fitness. So who are they to, you know, kind of teach me about this stuff when they don't know shit about it, you know? And so, I mean, I'm kind of proving myself because they can just see the stuff that I'm doing and the way I look and my lifestyle. But if you have a shitty ass lifestyle and you're drinking and you're smoking and you're in shitty health, then of course she's going to have a problem with you using steroids. So you have to kind of prove yourself to the person you're with to where it gets to the point where, well, who am I to tell this guy that he's doing something wrong when he looks great, you know? And you know what I'm saying? So you got to put yourself in that situation in the first place. And I don't feel like this guy did that. This guy just went behind her back and wants to use steroids. She found the steroids. She freaked out. Well, steroids are bad. Steroids are illegal. So she got pissed. If I found out my girlfriend was using heroin behind my back, I would be fucking pissed. And it's also illegal. So, I mean, I could kind of see her perspective, and I don't blame her. So you have to kind of have better communication. And the second mistake he's making is now he's going to order more steroids and try to hide it from her. My advice is, women know everything. You cannot hide anything from women. This is why men are such lousy cheaters. They can't, you know, whenever they cheat on women, women find out. But women cheat on men, and men don't find out as often, because women are much better at hiding shit than men are. That's just the way we are. That's the male versus female part. So anything you want to add, Matt?
Yeah, I think just quickly, like, I think this guy, he's probably not – it's either his first cycle or he's not using responsibly, because I think if he was in good shape – and he'd been getting his blood work done and everything else, his girlfriend or wife would know that he's healthy too. Because that's what she cares about, is the health. You know, the health and the legality, I guess, it could be a factor too. But, you know, like Steve said, guys, if you're healthy, it's way different than someone who's, you know, fat, drinking, smoking, sitting on the couch, right? So I think that's another downfall. If he would have been getting his blood work and, you know, proving along the way that obviously he's doing things the right way, I don't think this would have came up at all.
This is another great episode of Evolutionary.org Hardcore Raw Podcast. We will talk to you guys next time. Have a good one.